Blog Talk Radio.
Turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith.
And if you hear any background noise, I apologize ahead of time. My grandson is here, and he tends to want to have his way at 2 years old. All right, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Most High a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah, for truly he is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, God. Thank you for keeping us safe this week. Thank you for your manifold blessings. Thank you for your kindness, Father. Thank you for first loving us, Father. We just want to give you glory. We want to give you honor. We want to give you praise. This is your day, Father, and we glorify you in it. Hallelujah. We lift you up. Thank you, Father, for just loving us when we didn't love ourselves, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 10,000 praises to you, oh, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You are worthy. You are worthy. You're worthy. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained with your people to keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedness. Now we have walked contrary to you, and if you have walked contrary to us, you said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us and that we are repenting from our sins and returning from our wicked ways, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, attune now your eyes and your ears towards your people. Hear our cries and our prayers. Deliver us from our captivity. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they, Israel, sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carry them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carry them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplications of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, before I turn it over to my brother, we have the new moon service coming up Monday night. I pray everybody can attend. Look at your previous new moon email for the first one or any subsequent one. Have your meal, your wine, your unleavened bread. Then we have the Pentecost coming up on the 22nd of the month. We definitely want to be ready for that. That is what I like the term Citizenship Day. Just like they have the 4th of July for the United States, most I have Pentecost, the day that he opened up the kingdom. So I pray that we all attend for Pentecost. With that being said, Shabbat Shalom, my brother. Brother Isaiah.
Sorry about that. I was mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Hear you now. Peace and blessings, brother.
Amen. Hey, peace and blessings. Grace and peace.
Grace and peace. All right, I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right.
I hope all has been going well with you.
Oh, very well. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and come as Yah leads you.
All praises. All right, everybody, grace and peace, brothers and sisters, my beautiful brothers and sisters. Grace and peace, and thank you for tuning in to Yah's Global Kingdom and to the part of my precept that is called To the Spirit of Meekness and Charity. Grace and peace, my name is Brother Isaiah, and I'm teaching the lesson today, and I will be doing the reading myself also. And the name of the precept is called, Be Ye Not Overly Righteous on the Sabbath Day. Now, this precept is not about trying to convince anybody or anything, because the Lord gives the increase of knowledge and truth. But the name of this precept is called, Be Ye Not Overly Righteous on the Sabbath Day. And the reason why we're doing this precept this morning is because sometimes, you know, definitely being in Babylon, things do get difficult sometimes. You know, you might find yourself in situations that you might find hard to get yourself out of. And, you know, and definitely when talking to other people about these situations, you know, I was talking to a couple of my cousins and stuff, you know, about this thing and my sister and stuff. You know, and we was talking about, you know, they was talking to me about their situations and stuff. You know, they say, you know, they'd be like, well, the Lord will provide, just do what you got to do for, you know, just keep the Sabbath day holy. But we're going to see this providing that the Most High God has given us. We're going to show exactly how and what the Lord feels about the Sabbath day. We're going to look through the scriptures on what it's about, what it's for. And we're also going to look at this in a brighter light on mercy. We're going to break down some scriptures. We're going to break down some things to show us that, of course, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. But at the same point in time is we cannot forget about logic and basic common sense and doing what you have to do. I don't think the Lord will chastise and beat down a person for using logic or doing the best you can do in that situation. Because we're going to find out that priests profaned the Sabbath and was blameless. We're going to find out that David ate the showbread that was only meant for the priesthood, and they're blameless. We also go find out when the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to the Pharisees about the Sabbath day, you're going to hear Jesus Christ come out of his old mouth and say, if you know what these words mean, the Lord shall have mercy. But the whole conversation about mercy was the mercy on the Sabbath day. And then we also want to find out how his mercy operates. We're going to find out how his mercy operates. And this is our hope. This is our strength. This precept has given us the courage that when things aren't looking so right, we can still move forward. And we still have hope. Because we have to understand something. This current life we live in is different from 3,000 years or 2,000 years. It is a different lifestyle, a different form of doing things. So what the Lord has shown me is how to be righteous in 2021. How can I provide what I need for the Most High God in the year 2021? Because this is the current time we're in right now. And sometimes we want to do the best we can. But the situations we be in sometimes, it don't always end up that way. But isn't it written in the Bible, if thou have little strength, he keep us from the outward temptation? So this precept is actually here to make us feel better. And not to feel down if you got to do what you got to do on that day. Because we have to understand that some people live paycheck to paycheck. Some people get paid Friday night. And if you live paycheck to paycheck, of course you got to go get something to eat for the week. It's not always easy for us to get these things done sometimes. And that's why I love God, and I thank God that he's the only one that's going to judge. Because you got to do what you got to do to survive. It's a different story if you had Monday, if you blew off Monday, you blew off Tuesday, you blew off Wednesday, you blew off Thursday, you blew off Friday, and now you want to get something done on Saturday. Then Lord have mercy, because now you are wrong. Because you had all this time to do it, but you went away on Saturday to get it done. Then I understand, then that's not acceptable. But if you've been trying to survive and do what you have to do all 5-6 days out of the week, and the only chance you get it to do it is, you know, that Sabbath, then Lord, hey, do the best you can to keep the Sabbath holy. You got headphones, put a lesson on your ears and show God that, hey, I wasn't able to do all of this, but, hey, I at least listened to a precept and remembered the Sabbath day and did the best I could with what I had. Why would God destroy and chastise and beat down somebody for doing all that they had? And it be like this sometimes. It be like this sometimes. And we're going to understand, too, a thing that can creep up into us is that spirit of being a Pharisee. Because if you look at the Pharisees, they were harsh, hardcore, brutal, down to the point, no exception. That was the Pharisees. But when Jesus Christ came, he said, man, come on now, man. You mean to tell me if y'all had one of y'all shares or animals left on the Sabbath day, y'all won't go get it? You mean to tell me that y'all this righteous or so holy that you can't even understand this? What if you street preaching and you forgot your water or your juice or something to drink? You think the Lord go come and tear you down because you go in the store and buy something to drink because you take care of his business? So let us get into this precept and understand logic, common sense, and how great God's mercy is. It's all going to play a big part so we understand the picture. So I pulled up a scripture in the book of Psalms. Brother Miles has already done a phenomenal job on the introduction, so there's no need for me to do a second one. But I'm going to start us. So I'm going to do the Lord's Prayer. Well, not the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to read a scripture reading from the book of Psalms, and then we're going to start into the precept. We're going to get into the precept. I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear to me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then call out upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Mine eyes from tears and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore, have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious is the sight of the Lord. It is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of the handmaid, thou hast loosed my bond. I will offer to thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house is the midst of thee. O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. The reading will take place from the book of Psalms, chapter 116, verses 1 through 19. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's get into the precept. And if we have any new listeners tuning in at this very moment, the precept just started, and the name of the precept is called Be Ye Not Only Righteous on the Sabbath Day. So, brothers and sisters, let's go into the book of Exodus chapter 20. Let's break it all down. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 20. And when we get to the book of Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read verses 8 through 11, verse 8 through 11. The book of Exodus chapter 20. The book of Exodus chapter 20. We're going to pick this up at verse 8, and we're going to read down to 11. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the Sabbath day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Oh, so this is plain sight, the commandments on keeping the Sabbath day. This day is a remembrance for us throughout all generations to honor it and remember it. No working, no laboring, and if you have manservants, make them rest. If you have maidservants, make sure that she rests. If you got cattle and stuff like that, don't be having out there in them fields. Lock them up and rejuvenate your body from the 6 days that you have been working. And to relax your body and rejuvenate your body and rest. But have any of us ever sat down to think about this? The Lord has given these instructions at the perfect timing. Has any of us ever wanted to think and guess what would have happened if they tried to do this in captivity in Egypt? How do you think Pharaoh and them would have reacted if they tried to keep the Sabbath day in Egypt? You can just only imagine the bloodshed. It's because they're not in there, because you're in somebody else's land. Your God means nothing to their God. Your ideas and what you think is righteous means little to the land that isn't yours. You are a stranger in somebody else's land. And you're up under somebody who has their own organization, their own kingdom, their own pharaoh or king, whatever one that you persuaded of, own common soldiers and own nation of people. How well do you think the Israelites would have been able to keep that Sabbath day? They would have been secretly keeping it and doing the best they can in their tents or in their houses, whatever they had back then, and did the best that they could. Meaning that, of course, you're going to have to work hard bondage. Of course you will that day, because I know it was 7 days out of the week. You would not have time to do a double portion to make sure that you have what you need for Friday night, so you got to do it on a Saturday. We already know that would be blown out of the way. You won't be able to do it. And the reason why we're putting it this way is because we're looking at the logic. You're in somebody else's land. So what benefit would it give the Lord to even give them the master to do it at that time? Why not deliver them, put them in their own land where they have their own people that have time to establish their own government? You have your own soldiers. You have your own everything. Then it's perfect. Then let me give you these commandments. Now I can show you exactly how you can get this thing done, because you have nobody around you. It's the exact same people with the same understanding, serving the same God, and doing everything at this appointed time. Now I can show you my commandments. This is what you do it. This is how you do it. Don't do this. Don't offend me. Don't offend man. This is how you keep my commandments, and this is how you live, and this is how you're going to get long life. Easier said when you have your nation of people and you got your own land. So that's why the Lord probably didn't bother about showing the Israelites that in Egypt. Do them 400-some years, and then you get out, then I'll show you how to become a people. I'll show you how to become a nation. I'll show you how to serve the true and living God. But it won't be that easy in somebody else's land. But when you read the scriptures, they still said they prayed to God always, and their prayer went to heaven because of the bondage. So what are we learning? That even though they was in bondage, they did the best they can do. We can't go do this, Lord, but we can at least cry and pray to you. We don't have a chance, opportunity to go do the things that you like because we're in bondage. We're in captivity. But what we can do is offer our prayer up and our cry to you to show you this is all we got, and we give it to you, Lord. We give you everything we got. Then God accepted. Then the Lord found a way for Moses to escape Egypt. Then the Lord allowed him to learn 40 years on Then the Lord allowed him to leave the land, show him what he needs to do, and come back and get the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They weren't able to do probably nothing to serve God but prayer. But that's all they had, and it was accepted. And they was able to leave the land of Egypt because that's all they had. But when it comes to us and our generation, we are so brutally blunt in being to other people when it comes to the Sabbath day. You know what you need to do. And God know your heart and who you are better than how you know yourself. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Heck yeah, absolutely. Every Sabbath, keep it holy. Do everything in your willpower not to offend God and remember this day. But the Lord do know things do come up. And what did you need to get that done on the Sabbath day? You think the Lord will strike lightning down and try to cut you off because you had to do that? No. And we're going to break this down even more. But first, I got to show y'all some things. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 15. We probably don't have to because I talked too much and kind of spilled it. But it's in a lesson, so we might as well go to it. But we really don't need to. But let's go ahead anyway. Let's go to the book of Genesis 15. The book of Genesis 15. The book of Genesis chapter 15. And all we're going to do is read verse 13. The book of Genesis 15 and 13. Verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now during this 400 years of being afflicted and being in captivity, where is the law? Where is the commandments? Where is this holiness they need to do to please God? Where's all this righteousness during this 400 years? How come the Lord ain't saying nothing about these things? He started talking about these things after the trip, after the captivity was over. Then I can show you how I really want it. But how could you really do what you really need to do according to the scriptures that we read at the end captivity? You in somebody else's land. So what we have to do is do the best we can to do as much as we can when it comes to these scriptures that's written in the pages of the book. So during that 400 years, when he said, hey, man, your generation is going to be inside somebody else's land. The Lord didn't say, but I'm gonna keep a law with them and some scriptures or some understanding on reading that they'll be able to maintain themselves during this 400 years of captivity. No. It's hardship and bondage. You in somebody else's land. You playing by somebody else's rules. They didn't have the luxury that Daniel and them had. And how they was able to do their own works and their own things when you read the book of Daniel. They didn't have that luxury. But this captivity we're talking about in the book of Egypt, it's hardship and bondage. And all they had was a prayer to go up to God. But during the 400 years, I don't see nothing about serving God until afterwards. Still got to do what you got to do, and they did. What was that? They prayed to God because of the hard bondage, and that prayer came up to heaven. And the Lord remembered his promise, and he remembered his promise with his children, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord delivered them. Why? Because that's all they had. That cry and that bitter cry is all that they had. It was accepted of God. So why is it in this time frame that we're in and where we're trying to do the best that we can, but that we get of our own hands? Not saying it's always the best, but if it's the best that we have, why wouldn't God accept it? Some days you might have to go to work on the Sabbath. What if you work 5-6 days out of the week and you live paycheck to paycheck? You're going to have to go to the store to provide for your kids and your family? Why won't he accept that? Sometimes you do what you got to do. But let's look at a scripture that I believe that we just overly use in the wrong way. Let's go to the book of Numbers chapter 15. The book of Numbers chapter 15. Look at Numbers chapter 15. And what we're going to do is read 32 through 36. The book of Numbers 15, 32 through 36. 32 through 36, verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found the man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him inward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. And the Lord commanded Moses. Well, that's enough right there. So now, we understand that this man was executed. He lost his life because he was laboring on the Sabbath day. Now, you got to sit back here and think for a second. Why do you think the Lord showed this man no mercy? Why did God do all this to this man? Why did the Lord allow this man to get stoned with stones until he died just by sitting, laboring on the Sabbath day and gathering and picking up sticks? Why? Because he's doing too much. For one. And for two, God is in the midst of that camp. You have your own people. You have the Lord with you. You get the Levitical priesthood with Moses and Aaron. And the priests and the princes, you got the whole nation together. Everybody know about the Sabbath day. So there is absolutely no need for you to perform this folly in the eyesight of God. But now if he was in Egypt in bondage, then that wouldn't have happened to him. He would have got a lot of mercy. But this is just showing you a person doing what he wants to do. I don't care. I feel like doing this now, and I'm going to do this. And that's why he paid the punishment for that. These are two different stories. If you have your own nation, you have your own people. I mean, you have your own people, your own congregation. You have everything. You have all your cousins, your brothers and sisters, the whole 12 tribes. You got everybody together who know that they're supposed to serve the true and living God. Everybody's on one accord. So what are you doing? There is no bondage. There is no captivity. There's no hardship. You're not starving. You got food, water, and to the point your clothes didn't get moth-eaten or your shoes didn't tear up. What was you lacking to gather sticks up on the Sabbath day? That means you're doing too much. And if you look at how it is for our generation and our time frame, how we do too much is when we do something, we don't need to do it. You got a house full of food, but you still want to go to the store and get some meat. Now, you deserve to get smacked behind your head. It's Friday night, but you want to go to the club with your friends. Now, you need to get stolen. Now, these are issues we're having. Now, these are problems we're having. Oh, man, I'm like, hey, man, hey, it's Saturday, bro. You want to go to the gym? No, man, it's a Sabbath. Cool, chill out, man. We go tomorrow. Now, you're doing too much. Actions like those, we can step up to the plate. But a person who is struggling when it comes to preparing things for their family or doing things they need to do on the Sabbath, it's a different story. But let's move along. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 12 and pay very close attention to what we're about to read. The book of Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew, chapter 12. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Verse 1. And at that time, Jesus went out on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were on hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger and that they were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread which was not lawful for them to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I would have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. So what are we learning here? Overly righteous people, for one, they're nosy. For two, you don't know how to manage your business. For three, you need to go find you some business. For four, stay out my business and go do your own thing. Why is it worried about what we're doing? Now, this is a whole different story. This ain't clubbing now. This ain't you going out on the Sabbath clubbing. This ain't you going to go work out at the gym on the Sabbath. You know, it's not you going to have a party and have a good time on the Sabbath. It's not these things. But you're condemning somebody for picking something up to eat. This is a whole different story now. So these are nosy people in other people's business. So now let's break this whole thing down to the most common denominator. So let's start this in verse 2. It said, But when the Pharisees saw it, they said it to him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only the priests. So these are death prison situations that Jesus is bringing up. He brought up David, he brought up the priest. The thing that David did, he's supposed to be punished for. The thing the priest did on profane the Sabbath day, they were supposed to be put to death. But the Lord is talking to these overly righteous people that's nosy in other people's business. They did what they had to do. They did what they had to do. These people are blameless. But what we're going to do is we'd rather put ourselves in a hole and make our lifestyle even harder by saying, well, you know, the Lord will provide for us. Well, he's trying to provide for you. If you got to get it done on the Sabbath, then do that on the Sabbath. He made a way for you. And he showed us through the Acts of David and the priest profaning the Sabbath. He's giving you a way to get what you need done. Because for one, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and he showed mercy on whom he will. No man on earth can tell you that. Because it's one Lord, one that's going to be judging us, our needs that we're going to have to bow down, and we have to only answer to one person. Now you look at this conversation. Now let's break this thing down to show you the mercy of God. So let's keep on going. Let me just keep reading. Verse 4. Let's read it again. Well, let's read verse 3. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was in hunger and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Now pay very close attention, and this sums up the whole story in verse 7. Everything is about to be summed up in verse 7. Let's read verse 7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you will not have condemned the guiltless. Did you catch that? But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy. But what's this conversation he's having with the Pharisees? This conversation he's having with the Pharisees is what's acceptable and what's not acceptable on the Sabbath day. But Jesus is telling us that if you know what this stuff means, then you should know that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So the Lord is telling us, I'm showing y'all mercy on the Sabbath. So when people be like, the Lord go provide for you, Lord, well, if you got to get it done on the Sabbath day, you don't think he'll show you mercy? Isn't he showing you what the disciples? Isn't he showing us how David did things? Isn't he showing us how the priesthood did things and how it was blameless? I'm the one giving mercy on that day. If you got to get it done that day, then you get it done that day. Don't make it a habit or doing it when you don't have to. But if you got to do it on that day, then you do it because it's my day. I will show you mercy if you got to get it done. And can't no man or anybody tell you you can't do that if that's the best way for you to do what you need to get done. But the book said, I have mercy. Then let me show you how good this God is we serve. I'm going to show you how good God is. Let's go to the Book of Lamentations. And if you guys got your dictionary, pull it out for a second, because we're going to look this word up, and you will understand exactly what this precept is talking about. Let's go to the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, the Book of Lamentations. Book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And what we're going to do is pick this up in verse 22. And we're going to read verses 22 through 24. The Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. And if you got your dictionary, just open it up. It's no crazy words or nothing. You just open up a regular Merriam dictionary or whatever source you have. And what we're going to do is we're going to look this word up after we finish reading this so you understand what these scriptures is talking about after we finish reading it. The Book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 22 through 24. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, what? Oh, no. You know what, y'all? Forgive me. I wrote too much. It's only 22 or 23, not 24. Only 22 through 23. So let's read that again. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What's new every morning? His mercy and his compassion. So you mean to tell me every morning that we are allowed to see there is another portion of mercy, because it said his mercy is new every morning. So get your dictionary and let's look up the word new. The word new, an adjective, it means having recently come into existence, right? And the adjective, in the synonym, in the adjective means brand new or up to date. So if it's brand new or up to date, that means whatever level you have read that in the scriptures, just imagine a portion of mercy you get in this time frame. If it's brand new and it's advanced and it's new every morning. But the last script you read in the book, it talked about if you knew what these scriptures were talking about, I have mercy and not sacrifice. The conversation was about the Sabbath. He's talking about mercy, and we just looked into the book of Lamentations. The book said that his mercy is new every morning and his compassion. So that means every day there's a new form of forgiveness and mercy and long-suffering. Definitely in our time frame. Because if he didn't have this and his mercy was new every morning, man, I don't think none of us would make it. So this mercy and compassion that the Most High is telling us that's new every morning, it's advanced from what it was before. So that mercy you're looking at is something even greater than next day. Because this world we live in now in 2021 is just ridiculous. If they woefully fallen back then, just imagine how bad we fallen now. So the Lord got to show us mercy. This is why when it comes to commandments, we got to do them. I'm telling you, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I'm telling you that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But what I'm telling you is that if use logic and do what you have to do. Is all I'm saying. Don't wait till the Sabbath to get something done when you had the chance, opportunity to get it done Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Sunday. I ain't never saying that. All I'm saying is use common sense and lose logic. You know your situation better than anybody else do. If you got to do what you got to do to take care of your family, your business, then you go do that. Don't make it a habit. And do the best you can to show God that you at least put some type of forth and effort into loving and obeying him on the Sabbath day. Don't be overly righteous and put yourself in the hole. Because a lot of us believe that the Lord will provide, but not even knowing that he might even show you, he'll show you deliverance. He might have to show you deliverance on that Sabbath day. Just like he did with the prophets in the Bible. This ain't telling you to go out there and do what you want. No. I'm telling you, sometimes you just do what you got to do. If you need a loan, and the only day they had it available was on Saturday, so you can catch up on your rent, you can catch up on your utilities, you might have a car note. You might have some school bills to get paid. What if the only day for you to get that loan was on a Sabbath day? You mean to tell me you gonna believe the Lord gonna provide after you? He has given you a chance, opportunity to get that done that day. Is this telling you to go crazy? No. All I'm trying to do is use logic and common sense and showing you that sometimes you do what you gotta do. This is all the precept is about. And for other people to stay out of other people's business when they come out of stuff. But now if you see somebody having a good time at the club Friday night, you see people having a good time at a party on the Sabbath day, you try to go to the gym and go work out on Saturday. Now, those are different things. Now, we can step in and be like, hey, man, you know you out of line, bro. You mean to tell them you couldn't wait till later on in the day to do this? Then that's a different story. That's fun versus doing what you got to do to survive. Okay? Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3. And what we're going to do is just read verse 8. Let's look at the mercy of God. Man, bless the Father forever in Jesus' name. Look at his mercy. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. This is why I tell you do what you got to do. Because the Bible said, man, just because you had a little strength, I keep you from the hour of temptation. Even things that is worse, you still held on. And this is what I'm saying now. Do what you got to do and hold on. Don't be all beat up and bent out of shape because you had to do something. Just hold on to your strength and hold on to your faith and keep moving forward. And don't be bent out of shape on trying to take care of things on a Sabbath if that's the only option that is open for you. You take care of the Lord's business. And remember what he did with David. Remember what he did with the priests. And remember what he did with the disciples. Two of those situations was dealings on the Sabbath day. And they are blameless. The person picking up his stock or his sheep or his goat or whatever, the only one he had on the Sabbath, blameless. The Lord is showing us that he shows this mercy on the Sabbath day. And we read the Book of Lamentations to show us how advanced his mercy is per morning. So the mercy you see in the Bible, that ain't praise God for that. But just imagine the generation we're in now, the level of mercy the Lord has showed us from the time that was written. You can only imagine. So let's go into the book of Matthew chapter 1. We're going too far. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And we're going to read verses 16 through 17. Give me a second. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 16 through 17. Ecclesiastes 7 and 16. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself? And that one is, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before the time? But we're using this one in the viewpoint of the Sabbath. Don't be overly righteous and don't be foolish. We talk about both of these. Don't wait till the last minute to get something done on the Sabbath day and don't think the Lord ain't going to bust your head open for doing that. But we also got in verse 16, don't be righteous over much, overly righteous over much, or be overwise. Why are you going to kill yourself? So if we look at the situation, sometimes how we look at it when we're overly righteous, it's like a metaphor. It's like you in the middle of the sea, drowning. Help! Lord, help! Help me! Right? The Lord might send a boat your way. And somebody might have a hand, I'll say, get in. And it's like you saying, no, I'll wait for God to show me his mercy. I'll wait for him. Lord, help, help! Now we can see how foolish that person is. And you're going to drown and die because you send your help, but you didn't even bother to get in. But you're too busy being overly righteous on whatever you think you got going on. So don't be overly righteous when it comes to things like this. Definitely being in captivity and being in Babylon this very day versus free men and free women in their day. So don't be like the Pharisees that was stone cold hard cutthroat on the Sabbath day and not even trying to hear people out when they got to do what they got to do on that day. Because for one, that's between you and God. For two, the Lord knows you better than you know yourself. For three, if he make a way for you, then that's between you and God. That ain't nobody else's business. And for four, if you got to do take care of that business, the Lord has made an invention called earphones. You know? Or you might want to bring your Bible with you. Or have a way you feel comfortable serving God. You know, play some gospel music or something that puts you in the good spirits to serve the true and living God. Show him, Lord, I got it. I'm doing this on this day, but I'm at least acknowledging the Sabbath day the best way I can. Why wouldn't he accept that? Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 3. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Consider if not the beam that is in thy own eye. Right? So now this judging that the Lord is telling us not to do is this simple. When the Lord say judge not that you be not judged, this is basically telling you to mind your business and stay out of other people's business. Don't be judging people on what they're doing with their lifestyle if yours ain't no better. Mind your business and work hard with your own hands to serve God and stay out of other people's business. Because 9 times out of 10, you ain't even cleaner than that person is. So we should be trying to find ways to try to look at other people's shortcomings when we got a billion of them of ourselves. So don't be judging people this way. And find yourself having God judge you the same way you judge that brother or sister. But we can rather do this instead. Let's go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And what we're going to do is pick this up at verse 11. And this is all this in a nutshell. and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That's the best way to go about things, when you learn to mind your business and focus on yourself and God. Because I'm telling you something right now, when you focus on yourself and you focus on God, then the Lord really show you how messed up a person you are inside. And when the Lord show you how messed up you are inside and how much you need to be done, you will show way more mercy and way more compassion with other people because you know how much your boo-boo stinks. But if we study to be quiet and to mind our business and to focus on God and to understand the things that we need to do to try to get a spot in the kingdom, it'll make it a lot easier to be able to talk to other people when it comes to salvation. And when it comes to other people's shortcomings and the things they might need help with, it'd be easier to deal with those things once you know that you ain't too pretty yourself. But in order to do that is we got to take a viewpoint of our own lives. We got to step back and look at ourselves and check our own selves before we go out and try to check anybody else. So we try to check me and you, we try to check me on how bogus my clothes look, and you've been wearing no pants for the whole month yourself. Now let's go to the book of Romans chapter 9. And this is last. Romans 9 and 15. And praise God for this. Romans 9 and 15. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And that's all in a nutshell. Nobody has the right and power to do any of these things we just read but the Most High God. The compassion and mercy, forgiving, unforgiving, is all the Lord's. And the Lord showed us his mercy. And we read in the book of Lamentations to show you how they advanced every morning. And we looked and seen how the Pharisees were so overly righteous when it came to the brothers picking corn on Sabbath day. The Lord even broke that down and showed them two options, the disciples that was with him and also the priests that profaned the Sabbath day and how they were blamed. And he even gave them a bonus on David. When he ate the showbread and the men that was with him, and it wasn't lawful. I show mercy on whom I show mercy to, not you, so we shouldn't be giving our opinion on that. But it is a different story if you see somebody out there clubbing or you got somebody out there working out, you know, you got somebody partying on a Sabbath day. Those are different things that we can step a foot in and do the spirit of meekness and fear to try to bring that person back. That's different. But if you don't see things like that, it is better for us to mind our business and to work hard with our own hands because we don't know what type of situation somebody else is in. It's between that person and the Lord. And the Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. And this mercy that the King has given us is only through him. And he knows that this world is messed up. So therefore, he shows more mercy. And he read in the book of Lamentations about that. So through the grace of God, I hope y'all got some understanding about this precept of not being overly righteous on the Sabbath day. I thank you for your time, and I turn things over to Brother Miles. And I thank you for tuning in.
All right. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Great precept, brother. A lot of people do take the Sabbath day and use it for their own pleasure. And we are strictly forbidden to do that. But if you have things that are necessary to do good on the Sabbath, the Most High has never been against that. So when you use David in the cornfield, Messiah in the cornfield, his disciples eating, the Most High doesn't want us to go without eating. Okay? Or if they had a... they're doing what's necessary. And in the land of our captivity, I agree with you, we don't have 100% control over when we work. We have 100% control over all aspects of our life. But I do want to take you back, and I want to ask you a question. When was the Sabbath given as a law?
You talk about all in whole, or you talk about during the time with, like, you talking about all in whole with the children of Israel?
Yeah, when was it given as a law? Because before this time, it wasn't a law to keep it.
Yeah, I know it wasn't, but I just wanted to give a viewpoint on that. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I know. I agree with you. I just used that. I used that for a viewpoint to understand the captivity, and when the right time it was able for him a time that was good for him, for the Most High to get the children of Israel, when it came to the laws and stuff like that. I'll just put in the viewpoint to show there's a time for everything. You know, during the 400 years of captivity, all they had was their cry. All they had was the tears and the hard bondage that went up to heaven. So I used that as a viewpoint to show that that's all they had. And it was acceptable because that's all they had. And I wanted to use those two things to try to show what's acceptable to God and what's not acceptable to God. I didn't want to get too much into like trying to be like, when was this and that and stuff like that.
Okay, well, that's the very reason that I brought it up, because that captivity, the Egyptian captivity, I'll just say it this way. The Sabbath wasn't even given while they were in Egypt, but there was no law for them to keep the Sabbath. So Pharaoh, them working 7 days
a week. Hey, bro, your voice is real scratchy on the speaker.
Okay, I think my phone, something's going on with my phone, but can you hear me better
now? That's better now. Yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, the reason that I'm bringing it up is that when we were in Egypt, there was no law to keep the Sabbath. So that captivity itself, you know, they didn't have the same requirements we have today, because there was no law to keep the Sabbath while they were in Egypt. The law was not given to Israel until they went to Mount Sinai to honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy. So I'm just saying, from a captivity standpoint, an example standpoint, we can't really use that. If you bring it into the time of Messiah, and what Messiah is telling the people, I believe that you are on point, period. We're not to be hypocritical. You know, so what Messiah actually said to the Pharisees, was to the people concerning the Pharisees, was do what the Pharisees say to do, but don't do as they do. Why? They're telling you to do the right thing, but they themselves don't do it. So when he got on the Pharisees was when they were in conflict with the law of the Most High. So when we as a people, teachers, whoever, however you want to put it, when we are saying one thing and doing another, we're being hypocritical concerning the thing, you know, the Most High is not pleased with that. Don't put burdens on people that you yourself aren't able to keep. But don't not teach them the right thing. So the Pharisees were teaching them the right things when they were teaching the right things, but then they were also putting burdens on them that they themselves weren't keeping. So he says, do what they say to do, but don't do as they do. Because they themselves don't do what they tell you to do. That's a whole different issue. When they make traditions that conflict with the scriptures, like the scripture says, honor your mother and your father. But the Pharisees said, hey, if you give anything to your mother and your father as their child, then they should be happy and you're done. You don't have to worry about honoring them anymore. And the Messiah got on and said, hey, know that you by your tradition, break the commandments of the Most High. So they were making up their own traditions, conflicting with the commandments of the Most High, as one thing. And then, as you said, they're trying to get on somebody about trying to eat when the Most High is saying, hey, they are doing the necessary. I mean, I agree. If you gotta feed your family and you are paycheck to paycheck and Friday comes, that's when you get paid, you got to go take your business. Okay, but then you still, after that, have to come and honor the Sabbath. So within those things. But I think that one of the issues that I have with this is that people will use it and you don't know, like you say, you scatter people's business, and everybody's got a different standard. And so now it becomes, well, I think this is right for me on the Sabbath, and I think this is right for me on the Sabbath. And who, as you said, this brother thinks that, oh, it's okay to go do this, or this sister thinks it's okay to go do that. Then it becomes where it's not a standard. There's no standard to it. It's every man doing what's right in his own eyes and trying to honor it and say, well, I know what I need to do. I would just say put a parameter around that with the understanding that, hey, if it is necessary and it's not doing your own pleasure, because that's what he says in Isaiah, if you will honor this day and not do your own pleasure. If your car is broken and that's the only day you can get it fixed, that's your means of transportation, you got to go do what you got to do. I agree with you 100%, 1,000. But also there needs to be standards there, because if not, then we'll be doing what the church is doing, watching football games, going and washing our car, and I need to get it done, that type of thing. So, you know, then they're going to say, well, who are you to judge me? So there has to be a standard put in place, that the Most High has put the standard there. It's not that the Pharisees were telling the people 100% wrong. The problem is they were putting things on people that they themselves wouldn't do. And that right there is hypocrisy. So if I tell you to do something as a teacher, and I myself don't do it, then I'm hypocritical, and I'm putting a standard on you, trying to push myself up as being all holy and all this that I myself don't keep. Now, if you can't keep it, again, as you said, that's between you and the Most High. But I think overall, a great precept, I would say that, you know, I wouldn't use the Egyptian captivity, because somebody can come back and say, hey, there wasn't a law for that at that time. And as far as us being in this captivity, we have to be very careful about what we take on as a name, as far as who we claim to be and what we claim to do. So we can't say that we are the people of the Most High and we honor the Sabbath, but then we find out we can't honor the Sabbath. Then maybe we ought not claim that we're the people of the Most High, because it's a self-fulfilling failure. If we say that we are Hebrew Israelites and we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, when it's convenient to us, when it fits our lifestyle, that's a problem. That's a very big problem. So perhaps the big thing is here is maybe we shouldn't say that we are Hebrew Israelites and we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments. If we are not able to keep them, maybe we should be Christian, because they have the liberty to do that. It's just things to consider, because once you claim something and you say that you're it, you have to live up to it. So sometimes it's better to say, you know what, I can't pay that cost, so that can't be my lifestyle. Messiah said that himself. Consider the cost. What is it going to take for you to live this lifestyle, to live the way that I say to live? We're in a land of our captivity. We want to claim that we're Hebrew Israelites. We keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. We have to do things. Everything has to be within reason. I agree with you 1,000%. But there has to be a standard there as well. If not, then whatever anybody wants to do on the Sabbath, they themselves would be able to justify it. They say, who are you? And that therein is, that's a problem. But that's just my take on it. That's a problem when we're supposed to be trying to become more like him. So we pray for those things, you know, when we see that we are out of standard, and we see that we know that we're not able to do something in what we feel is the perfect way that the Most High wants us to do it, then we pray for him to make it where we can do it in that way. Because he's gonna, as you said, he's going to judge your heart. This is what you intended to do. This is what was in your heart to do. You couldn't do it. Then we pray to him to make a way that we are able to do it. Give us, you know, change our status, change our environment, whatever it takes to allow us to be able to live according to as we have been convicted in him. So a lot of people want to honor the Sabbath, and as you say, life, the things that come up, they are in conflict with. And so we know that we have a problem keeping it perfectly. But then our prayer should be to the Most High, make a way for us to keep it perfectly so that we can honor you in your day. Because that is the whole purpose of the Sabbath, to honor him. But the way he says to honor him. So I agree with you overall in your precept. I agree that people try to become too holy, especially if they are saying you cannot do these things on the Sabbath day, but you don't have another choice. I mean, if there's no other choice, there's no other choice. And so they shouldn't be self-condemning.
Amen.
But at the same time, you got to have a standard.
Right.
So I like the precept, and like I said, brother, I agree with you.
The first two I did, I don't know, I think I must have spoke too fast. I used the word just imagine if he did. You know, so of course it wasn't something, you know. It was like just imagine if he did and put it in a form of you in captivity trying to do all this. What do you think the Egyptians would have done? So that's why I put in, you know, just imagine if the Lord did do that, what type of state they'd be in. So it was, I understand what you said, and maybe that's how people viewed it, so I'm glad you said that, bro. But that I didn't want it to go in that way it was stated. You know, it was just imagine, or what if it happened that way? So those first two scriptures was more focused on, like, put yourself, just imagine if that did happen that way. Why the, and even, probably that's why the Lord didn't even give them the law at that time. You know, but it was a point in time when it got out of Egypt after captivity, it was more acceptable, and it was more able, they were more able to perform these things. But it was more of a just imagine, or what if it happened this way? It was more like that, but I'm glad you said that, because people probably did think of it that way. But summing that up, it helped out the people just in case they didn't know. So I do appreciate that.
All right, peace and blessings. Yeah, that was my input. Mm-hmm. If anybody has anything that they want to say to their brother, press number one. And I'll open up your phone. All right, if not, if you will pray us out. Oh, let me Sister Mary. Hold on a minute.
Shalom, brother. Shalom, brother Miles.
Hey,
shalom, brother Isaiah.
Hey, shalom.
I enjoyed the lesson. I especially like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 11 when you say mind your business. Because if we mind our business, we don't have time to, like you say, judge nobody else.
Uh-huh.
I really liked it, that. And happy Sabbath to you, bro.
Oh, happy Sabbath to you, too. I thought y'all would have liked Lamentations 3:22 about that, about the compassion and mercy being how it's new every morning. That gave me hope to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I enjoyed the lesson. Love you, brother. Shalom.
Amen.
All right, amen. Anyone else? All right. If not, on this evening, we will have a precept coming forward, still dealing with the spiritual wellness, dealing with us coming out of slavery and the behavior that we have seen, the spirit that we have seen on us as a people after we came out of slavery, that was magnified by slavery. And so we see these problems on our people, and I've really been vexed as to, you know, I've been going before the Most High, waking up early, as to what we as a people do, have to do to come from under these curses, the effects of them on us as a people. So I pray that everybody has a blessed day. I hope that you attend tonight. We will, with this, dealing with spiritual wellness and post-traumatic slave syndrome, the effects of slavery on us as a people, and how we see these things continue to manifest even today, even though we've been out of slavery 100 years, the effect that slavery had on our men and our women, we still see the effects of it today. And it's caused by the Most High. We saw that on Sunday, that this is caused by the Most High. I'm praying that he gives me a message for this evening, for us, a direction to move in, or break this thing down even more so that we can start to battle it and come out of it as a people. Remember the new moon service on the 10th, which is Monday, I believe, and Pentecost on the 22nd as our spiritual events that are coming up. Once again, I thank you for your offering, Brother Isaiah. Great precept. And we love you all. Remember, the Most High, we love you, and the Most High loves you more. Always remember that. Shalom, family.
Need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always.